You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, June 6, 2014. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's casual Friday, folks. Feels more like casualty Friday to me. Joining us today, of course, as we have every Friday when we're lucky, Cliff Schechter. And to ostensibly give me a streaming movie recommendation for the weekend, the suspiciously libertarian professor sounding Andy Kindler will be joining us on the program today. Also on the program today, we will get to that Scotty B story.
Dude!
Ohio reveals it's not just abortion the right-wingers want to ban. It's also birth control. And, of course, the most interesting race happening over the next 3 weeks, McDaniel versus Cochran in Mississippi. More on the new Benghazi, as it were. And, of course, it's the week of accidental shooting deaths and the NRA flip-flopping on whether or not those loons who go into buildings with their firearms are just too crazy, even for the NRA. They were, they weren't, they are, they aren't. It doesn't make a difference, really. At the end of the day, it's just how many guns can we sell. Also, just a note, a funny sidelight. This is just hilarious. Someone left an actual real gun in a Target, in a kid's, you know, toy aisle. And initially they thought it was a toy gun. And then it turned out to be a real gun loaded. I don't think it was from one of those parades of the morons into a Target. Nevertheless, just you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. So if you leave a gun in an aisle in a Target and there's no people there to pull the trigger, then of course it's not going to kill anybody. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick... Let me just remind you, this show relies nearly exclusively on all of its revenue from those people who decide to become members and support both the free show and, of course, we give them a bonus, an extra 40, 50 minutes. Today, we'll probably do a freebie Friday. We have a lot of new listeners. Want to give you a sense of what happens in the post show. But if you do have the financial wherewithal, please, to become a member, please do so today at majority.fm. There are other ways to support the program. You go to majorityreportkickback.com, see some of those ways. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to the never casual Cliff Schechter.
Stop breaking down.
lose your mind.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Old lead fingers over there on the board. Folks, we are blessed every Friday, or more, most, almost 99.9% of Fridays, with a visit from our good friend Cliff Schechter. So much so that we even have this little ditty to show just how happy we are.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, the song that is sung so many days a week in so many showers around the country. It is Cliff Schechter. Hello, Cliff. How are you?
So many earworms in so many places. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a crazy week, both news-wise and, of course, with me launching the 3-6 program, which I certainly hope you will be able to be a frequent, if not regular, guest on.
I certainly hope so. If I reach that level of talent that's required for the show, I'm there.
Yes, and
and you know what? You know what else?
Yeah.
I thought I would say at this point, one of your producers there is so viral. I feel like I need to wear a prophylactic just to be on the phone.
You know, I just got a tweet. I didn't see who it was from. Matt, is it Binder or Binder?
Nobody
seems it's Binder.
To know.
I know it's Binder. Apparently even Jank mispronounced your name last night on TYT.
Jank did.
It's unbelievable.
Jank, Chris Hayes. You've had more people mispronounce your name in the last week, but
Joy Reid.
Sure...
Joe, she actually said my name right.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Who said your name right?
Joy Reid. On MSNBC.
Nice. Are you going to demand a pay raise from Sam?
Shush, 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 shush.
Because I assume your following must be going through the roof now.
Shush, shush,
you probably
shush,
have,
shush.
It's like the life of Brian. You don't want to open the window when you're naked because there'll be like 1,000 people out there just be like, Matt! Or they'll just yell Binder and mispronounce your name.
Yeah.
And we will get to the, we will get to that topic, which has brought, Matt, such fame and, fortune.
I will say quickly, before, with all the joking aside, before we get on to the topics, I will say, Matt, great shit, buddy.
Thank you, Cliff.
That was
thank you.
Very, very well done and very entertaining for many of us out here. So thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, I just got an IM from producer emeritus of the Majority Report, Josh Horton, saying that it sort of seems like the Majority Report should own a piece of Matt's work.
I think you got to. That's true. You may want to demand your chunk.
Well, I have a secret plan. This is my secret plan. My secret plan is the way that I will take over Matt's kingdom is I'm going to send him out to break into a nursing home.
And try to take pictures
of some other podcast host, like maybe Mark Maron's, you know, I don't know if his folks aren't in a nursing home yet. But we'll do something like this where ostensibly Matt will think he's on a mission to promote our show.
Mark
and he's going to end up
stuck his relatives in a dilapidated home in the South Bronx.
Now, of course,
we document it.
Of course, I'm drawing a parallel to Senator Chris McDaniel, former shock jock or right-wing talker.
Also known as right-wing idiot.
Right, indeed.
And a friend of the Klan, I believe.
Oh, really?
He's got some serious connections to Klan-like act. I'm trying to remember if it's some guy he hangs out with. I know he does, and I know it's been documented. And I know that scared Haley Barbour and some of these other. If Haley Barbour is scared away from you because you're spending too much time with the Klan, you spent a lot of time with the
that's
Klan.
Right.
All right,
that's right. Yeah, you've my sense is, and this is let's start this conversation with, because I mean the relevance of McDaniel here. You know, it's not too often that I'm going to spend this much time on a primary, and I think it's dubious at least that this could possibly be a Democratic pickup. And to the extent that, you know, it would be a Democratic pickup, it would be a guy who on many things.
He'd be the Ben Nelson of all Ben Nelson pickups.
It's true, although he has been trying to sort of talk a little bit of a populist game. I'm talking about Travis Childers. The guy was a former Blue Dog Democrat. Of course, the Blue Dogs are, you know,
They've been put to sleep at this point.
Well done. But Childers is a guy who voted against the Affordable Care Act, not because he wanted single payer, I should tell you. He defines a marriage between one man and one woman. That fight seems like it's gone in the past.
They,
so the guys,
they both need to be white, too, I believe.
And he's also sort of a gun toter. But he has been at least on economic issues. You know, he's been talking, I think, of minimum wage. And he's been, I think he even sort of referred to himself as maybe I am a populist, which.
You know, I would say to give potential credit to really all the people listening to this show, the work that you guys do and other people have done. You know, we've documented this in numerous ways, from, you know, Alison Schwartz getting her butt kicked for being associated with Third Way in Pennsylvania and ending up falling out of a commanding lead in that primary. This kind of thing's happened in other areas. I mean, the New Dems and Blue Dog faction is still there. It still controls the narrative on certain issues. Like, for example, or at least has a lot of control when it comes to, you know, school reform, quote unquote, which we're doing a lot of work to try to change that too. They still fight on Social Security and other things. But I will say, you know, it's a different setup now. The gravity of the party has moved more populist on economic issues. And it's different than when Travis Childers first got himself elected to Congress. And that's where, you know, people who talk about the system that we have about changing the culture in the system, it's so important, because a lot of these guys are just wimps, you know, and guys, gals, whoever, who run for office. They'll go in whatever direction they think the wind is blowing. If they think they have to be more populist on economic issues, they will be. So yep. He's going to be terrible and make us upset on social issues. Let's just accept that right now. On economic issues, however, who knows? You know, I haven't read yet, but maybe he'll come out and he'll fight for raising the minimum wage.
He is with raising minimum wage. He is with pay equity for women. He seems to be sufficiently anti-bank. He said he now regrets his having opposed the aid package to the auto industry.
Wow, I mean, you know, he could end up being as good as you're going to get from Mississippi as a Democrat.
Yes.
And to me, at this point, it's not about would I want him as the 55th vote? Probably not, or the 57th vote. But we're talking about he could be the 50th vote.
Right, and that is the mentality, I think, that the Republicans, who really don't like McDaniel, because, I mean, if only because they just don't want another Ted Cruz-like a-hole out there who has this, you know, and again, this comes back to that sort of conversation that we've had in the past, but people really need to think of the Republican Party as one industry with two different big companies fighting it out.
Right.
They are the same industry in terms of what they're turning out, except for they have slightly different silos in terms of who gets money, who makes money off of this stuff. And I'm talking literally who makes money off it. There's like, you right. either brand yourself.
Because everything's about making money with the Republican Party.
I'm either Coke or Pepsi. And, you know, Pepsi is, I go on tour with Sarah Palin, and I get my money from Club for Growth, and I get my right. money from the AFP and Heritage, and the other, you know, Coke gets their money from the Chamber of Commerce. Although Chamber right. of Commerce, you know, the money co-mingles in many respects
right.
too.
So really, in the end, what you've got is maybe one of the big companies makes their money off of. If they support and get through immigration reform.
Although there was a couple of races.
The other side of that equation makes their money because they get paid by hate groups to hate immigrants.
Right. And I will say this, though. You know, when we had Dave Weigel on a couple of weeks ago after the Super Tuesday primary, he made the point that, you know, the chamber is saying that they won, but they funded, everybody they funded was anti-immigration.
Right.
And so, you know,
what's winning? They won with Mitch McConnell, who, you know, is a guy, as we just said, when I was talking about how the culture can change within the Democratic Party, clearly it has in the Republican
yep.
Party. And if you want to know, you know, if you want any idea of how the culture has changed within the Republican Party, all you have to do is look at the 30-year career of Mitch McConnell, because he is literally as much of a political weather vane, you know, a guy that supported all sorts of campaign finance reform in the 80s. And now, of course, is the biggest opponent of anything and thinks everyone should be able to spend whatever they want. He voted for immigration reform in the past numerous times. Now is against it. He's sort of that classic thing. And so you can tell that he's still scared that the faction that is anti-immigration reform can get him, because that's where he stands at the moment. And yet the Chamber of Commerce, as you pointed out, is crowing about that as a victory, even though he won't support what is one of their key issues.
Right. And you know, we see it even in the context also, you know, the big EPA regulations that came out earlier this week that, of course, we're, you know, going into a comment period for, and it's going to be a long time turnaround. It may not be enough, et cetera, but it showed people just how far there was a bunch of pieces out there that sort of talked about just how far the Republicans have traveled backwards on the issue of global climate change. You know, when 2008, John McCain's platform was more aggressive than these EPA rulings in terms of cap and trade. So,
well, people forget cap and trade was their plan.
Yep.
The earned income tax credit was their plan. The individual mandate was their plan. Hell, one of their big plans to deal with gun violence way back when was background checks. McCain, DeWine, I think it was Gordon Smith at the time. There were about 6, 7, 8, I don't know how many Republicans, you know, were co-sponsors of a background check bill that passed the Senate with about almost 70 votes, because that was their answer to something like Columbine, because they didn't want any, you know, further restrictions on guns, and they thought that made sense. Now that, of course, is communism too.
Right.
You really, I mean, all these things out there so often are the Republican plans, you know, and then you can tell how far the party's gone right that all this stuff is now like, you know, the second coming of Mao.
Yeah. Now, getting back to this, to the Thad Cochran, Chris McDaniel race, there's a couple of things that have sort of become clear to me over the past couple of weeks leading up to this race. It became clear to me that Thad Cochran, this guy seems to be sort of, you know, a little bit slow, moving slow these days.
You know what he is? I don't mean to interrupt, Sam.
No, go.
I think the best comparison is he's Dick Lugar. You know, there are these more old line, kind of waspy, conservative, you know, call them gentlemen. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but. And they're used to just sort of having the nomination without trouble.
Right.
And not having to sort of, you know, dig into the dirty populism to get it. Sure, they're anti-choice and pro-gun, but they're not used to having to pander to the people, kind of the way George H.W. Bush was, you know? And suddenly, when they find themselves in a battle like this, they don't really know what to do. They're not sort of street fighters like a Mitch McConnell, who never took that primary lightly and was vicious the entire time. And I think that Thad Cochran is in real trouble because of that.
And this also coming up, I mean, the interesting development over the past, there's been two developments, you know, since the election. Obviously, they're in this runoff now as of Wednesday. I think it became really Wednesday afternoon became official. They've got 3 weeks. Hours after the election, apparently a top aide to Chris McDaniel was, and I haven't seen any of the most recent reports, but they were locked. He and a couple other guys were locked in a courthouse where they were counting ballots. And apparently they had different stories to the police as to why they were there, the three of them. They didn't get their story straight with each other. And
don't they know if you're going to commit a crime, you have to first get your story straight?
Jesus. That seems like the bottom line. Right. I mean, these are also, you know, these are supposedly this is supposedly the A team, whereas the B or C team was breaking into the nursing home to take these pictures of Tad Cochran's wife, who has been in the nursing home for 8 years.
It's generally a really good way to defeat somebody.
And
you're not going to elicit sympathy for them. You're going to really get vast anger for them.
Apparently, it worked. I mean, apparently it didn't, you know.
It didn't hurt them. No, I know. No. I don't think it worked. I don't think he gained votes from that. I just think that clearly Cochran doesn't, you know, again, I don't think he's used to really campaigning. It doesn't really have to and doesn't really know how. And I think any of those things, the kinds of things that somebody who was a tough campaigner would have gone after their opponent and barnstormed the state and just slammed him and paid advertising to whatever. And it almost seems like Cochran barely responded to the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I think he just was thinking that he was living in those days where, you know, people will see that this guy is there's something inappropriate about him. And and of course, that's not the only thing that's inappropriate about the guy. Here he is. I want you to hear this, you know, because he was a former conservative radio show host. So I don't know. I mean,
so you know he's got to be a smart guy from that.
Now, we've played the clip, I think, maybe some time ago about his concerns that there were not enough Muslim bad guys in television programs. But here he is.
That's a real concern.
Of course.
At least they have Beau Bergdahl. What's his name's dad? He's got a big beard.
Right. Well, we'll get to Bergdahl.
If you're not ZZ Top and you've got a long beard, you're a terrorist.
Or if you're not the Duck Dynasty. But let's go to this is clip number two, where you have Chris McDaniel and his sidekick, Jeremy. This is like something from the 1920s. Like, look at this. They're speaking the crazy Spanish. Here it is. This is number two.
And I think we all get together, go down there, build us a studio for like 26 pesos, and put on a radio show right there in Mexico, live the rest of our lives right there. Why not?
Do we have to learn Spanish?
Yes. Regrettably.
I'm not going.
You'll have to learn just enough to ask where the bathroom is.
I'm still not going to speak that language.
Banos, that's what you say.
That was a deal breaker for me. I'm not learning Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a sister? How do you say that in Spanish, Jeremy?
Come on.
¿Cómo está, señorita? Not quite. What about mamacita? Mamacita works.
Maybe, yeah.
You say that at the wrong place at the wrong time, you will get beat down.
Yeah, probably cut.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mamacita. It's not a bad word. It's just it's indicative. Or I think it basically means, and again, I'm an English-speaking Anglo. I have no idea what it means actually, but I've said it a few times just for, you know, fun. And I think it basically means, hey, hot mama. Or, you know, you're a fine-looking young thing. Something like
That basically,
oh my God.
I mean, let's just, I mean, for a moment, we're both in radio on some level.
Anglo.
Let's just make it clear that that is such bad radio. It makes Anthony and Opie sound like Charlie Rose.
Oh my God!
Let's be honest. This is the odds-on favorite to be the next senator from Mississippi.
This is another episode of Places I Don't Want My Car to Break Down. I live in the same country as that guy. I think I need to sort of hear these things every once in a while to remind me. I live in a country where there are actually people who would choose to listen to that on the radio and find it to be entertaining.
Well, who knows? Maybe he didn't do so well and he decided to go into politics. Getting back to
see you more as a senator. I don't know about radio,
yeah.
But I think you should be in our topmost legislative body.
Hey, McDaniel, the way you say mamacita, you belong in the U.S. Senate.
Oh my gosh.
But okay, so.
This guy, there's a really good chance that this guy is going to be a U.S. Senator. When you think that body cannot sink any lower.
You know, the Club for Growth has come out with the statement, and it's being reported that they're pivoting already to Travis Childers, implying that they already think that Cochran is done. And that may be the case, but what I found interesting about the way that they pivoted here was that Cochran's, this is what they put out, their statement. Cochran supporters from Washington to Jackson to Biloxi know that Travis Childers can't win a general election in Mississippi because his record is far too liberal, and he was last seen losing his seat in Congress by double digits. This runoff is not about who will keep the Senate seat in Republican hands. That's basically the message that they're trying to carry. Like, you don't have to worry about electability anymore. That's off the table. That is their strategy here. They're trying to say this guy's no, what's her face? Christine O'Donnell, all right? She's not, or Sharon Angle, you know, he's not claiming he's a witch. He can win at the very least in Mississippi, no matter how regressive and backwards he is.
To be realistic about this, his getting the nomination opens the door for Childers. I mean, there's a chance that he's at a shot, whereas he wouldn't against Thad Cochran as a Democrat. But you still are going to need along the way McDaniel to say a couple of things that he's now making himself famous for saying. No, he's not going to say I'm a witch, but he could say some things that could go even over the line from Mississippi, although one wonders what that might be. That's how we got a senator in Indiana, you know? I mean, I think in some of those other cases, some of the people had a very good chance anyhow, whereas clearly with Lugar as the nominee, we were never going to win that Indiana race. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Certainly he'll be entertaining.
There's also one other
Ted
element.
Cruz will have a sad. He will be the craziest person in the Senate.
This is going to be interesting too. I mean, I don't want to look too far ahead, but Chris McDaniel in the Senate aligning himself with the more crazy, less media trained caucus in the Republican Senate. It's, you know, let's not forget, you got at least two or three Republican senators who are looking to run for president in 2016. And so this is going to, you know, and they're all going to be trying to outdo each other to race for a certain race. This is going to really, I think, have one of the sleeper things about this race is that it's going to have implications on the 2016 presidential elections, because it's going to, again, put another Ted Cruz figure in the Senate. And so Ted Cruz has got to be more Ted Cruz to differentiate himself, because he doesn't want, you know, Chris McDaniel to be the new Ted Cruz, which means that you got to get even more crazy. I mean, this is what we've been talking about as well.
Right.
That, you know, the Republican Party is in this death spiral where they cannot tack back into sanity. they have to stay in crazy land. And they, it's getting more and more crazy.
And as you said, they have to keep pushing it, you know, every step further. And I admit there was a period in time, you know, which almost seems funny now. You know, it's almost like you're embarrassing, naive, where I thought, oh, my God, George W. Bush is so right-wing, and these guys are talking about being more right-wing. They can't get to the right of him.
Right.
And we're like five levels to the right of him now. So I've learned my lesson to not say that anymore, even though you'd look at Ted Cruz and you'd think, you know, how can you get to the right of him? But I've learned there are ways to get to the right of anybody. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe McGahn will change his name to Mussolini.
Yeah,
we'll have to see what happens.
Well, that would be Italian, wouldn't it?
That's true.
Then you'd have to say Mamma Mia, I guess.
I can wear a brown shirt, but I ain't going to change my language.
Yeah, that don't mean I'm going to have that Piscati all the time, does it? I'm feeling a little loopy today. Let's move to, you know, we've had so many conversations over the past couple of years, Cliff, and, you know, you have worked for some type of sensible gun control, gun safety laws for years. I don't know if you're currently representing anybody, but you certainly have worked for a couple of different outfits. And so this, you know, on some level of, and we had another shooting, was it yesterday now?
In Seattle last night on, was it Seattle Pacific campus where, you know, we're at the stage now of school shootings where it's like, oh, only one student was killed and three injured. That would seem like a good one.
Right.
That's the sad sort of state of events. So that one's not even being like hugely reported in the way the one was that took place a week ago or a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I guess now, in Santa Barbara, where it was obviously a larger number of people killed. But yeah, there we are. We're here again, you know, and it's during that time. I mean, the thing that's been going on that's just absolutely insane. Like, it's so out of whack with where most people are and with where you'd think this country would be. You know, or you've probably seen some of this stuff on these open carry lunatics.
Yes.
And
well, at the beginning of the week, I said I was reporting that the NRA was basically chastising these people for going into the Chipotles, for going into the Targets, and with, you know, a bunch of guys strutting around essentially to show how much manhood they could throw over their shoulder. And
they're always guys that, you know, you see it as manly. They didn't have guns because they're usually in really good shape. You know, they work out a lot. They watch the trans fats. And so clearly having the gun has nothing to do with making up for certain insecurities.
And then within a day or two after posting something on, I guess, their official website magazine, digital magazine, whatever, you got the top lobbyist for the NRA on NRA TV apologizing for criticizing open carry Texas. Here it is.
Now, the truth is an alert went out that referred to this type of behavior as weird or somehow not normal. And that was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. I've had a discussion with the staffer who wrote that piece and expressed his personal opinion. And our job is not to criticize the lawful behavior of fellow gun owners. Our job is to effectuate policy changes that expands and protects our members' right of self-defense. So this is a distraction. Certainly the media has had a field day with it. But ultimately what we're focused on is not only protecting the right of self-defense, but expanding it through open carry, through concealed carry, or any other lawful way.
Yeah. So there,
okay. So
no place
I don't
need
even
self-defense.
Need to hear any more of this.
There's no place you'd need more self-defense than a family restaurant.
Right.
You really, I mean, the thing about this is, and you know, which is sort of fun to watch the, you know, Chris Cox grovel like that and sort of watch this whole episode, is, doesn't it remind you of something? This is basically, these guys are the NRA's Tea Party. What it comes down to is, as you pointed out, they're both parts of the same corporation. They all believe in the same crap. It's just the guys at the NRA are a little more media savvy.
Right.
So they're not quite as dumb and sort of in thinking, hey, here's a really good idea. I'm going to walk into the Sonic restaurant with an assault weapon on. I mean, and clearly you go into places where there are kids and family, and this is what's important about, you know, and related to what happened in Seattle, which is, so how are people supposed to react? Because when you walk in with the type of weapon that we are in this country legally allowing people to have in about 40 to 40, you know, something states at this point, and we're allowing people to open carry and pretty close to that too, because originally it was thought, you know, it would just be idiots walking in the street wearing their handgun in their holster. But these guys have taken it to a whole new level where they've got to carry their assault weapons into restaurants and places like that. So how are you supposed to react? I mean, I'm sitting there with my family and guys come in. I'm going to assume that somebody's about to start shooting.
What? See, that is your problem, Cliff. You just don't think it's normal to see that. It's in probably because you don't like America.
That's true. I hate America and all it stands for is what I think my big problem
is. They're trying to teach you. It's like sensitivity classes. They're just trying to teach you that guns can be your friends. You just don't know them enough. Like that guy who...
You get to know them better, maybe. You caress them a little bit, take a little time to get to know what their likes and their dislikes are.
Yeah, you just don't know how nice they can be. Like that guy, James McKenzie, 49, shot himself in the thigh with a .45 caliber handgun as he drove. Call came in for deputies to respond to a seizure, and when they arrived, he had apparently bled to death from the wound in his thigh. You just don't understand these guns. They people kill people. Guns don't kill people.
Right. Or maybe bullets do.
Or bullets do.
I mean, it's again, there's no need to go because everybody listening here has common sense, and everybody here would say, I'm sure even if there are people who are listening here who are gun owners would be the types of people who would never leave a gun loaded, you know, oops, I hid it under my pillow, my kid will never find it, or, you know, the kinds of stuff that we allow without holding people criminally liable in this country. You know, there was just a gun left on the shelf near the toys, I think it was yesterday, in a Target somewhere.
Yep, I mentioned that.
You know, where are you going? Hey, look. Hey, there's the Jedi Lego. Oh, right. Hey, look over there. It's Minecraft. Hey, it's an assault weapon. You know, I mean, the person who left that there should go to prison.
Yes.
You know, but we don't, that's part of our problem. That is our gun culture. It's not just the massacres. It's not just even the everyday shootings that are happening in places, gang shootings, we're fueling those and the rest. It's just that this culture where you're not allowed to ask any questions about guns. They're a sacred right. They're an extension of your penis. They're your fetish. And basically, you have the right to do whatever you want with them. Leave them on a shelf somewhere. Leave them in the bathroom in a school. If you're the guard at that school, leave them, you know, with loaded, unlocked underneath the pillow so kids find them and shoot each other. That's your right as an American. And we're not allowed to just say that is insane. And now, you know, these guys who are walking in the right, I mean, it's been fun because they're such idiots that they've now led to policy changes at Chipotle, Chili's, all these restaurants, you know, have been pressured by groups like Moms Demand Action after these idiots show up, and they've all now asked these imbeciles to not come into their stores with their guns. But I think more is going to need to have to happen with this because it's freaking ridiculous. Somebody ran into a Home Depot just yesterday chasing his ex-girlfriend and shot her and two people that just happened to be there, all three of them to death. You know, I mean, when is it going to be that all these guys, when corporate America is going to realize that, kind of like they did with, you know, large swaths of corporate America realized with racism and realized with anti-gay, you know, hysteria and whatever, that it made sense to be on the side of the future of young consumers, you know?
Right.
In the case of background checks, 90% of where our country is, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't know when these guys will start coming out for policy changes, but more people keep getting shot in their stores and their restaurants. At some point, like many of us, unless these places fully ban, you know, and are willing to call the police the minute they see a gun in there, we're not going to want to take our kids there.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy.
All right. Well, I don't want to spend too long on this because we're up against it a little bit. And sadly, I'm afraid that we're going to have a lot of time to talk about this, Bogazi, Bo Bergdahl.
Bergdahl, the freaking communist.
And, well, you know, look. At the end of the day, Taliban is not necessarily communist, according to them. But I mean, at the end of the day, we don't really know what the story is with Bird Dahl.
They're all America haters. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, I had Paul Rykoff on the 3-6 show this week, and he basically, he was quoting, I think, a tweet he said. He said, but you go get the prisoner, even if he's a dick. There's some questions.
That's really interesting, because I was interested in what Paul would say. I put something up on Facebook because I'm on a listserv with a guy who is a former Navy SEAL. And he put up, you know, this whole thing, you know, he was in Vietnam about his guys carrying him out. And just, you know, when you go through Navy SEAL practice, the thing being that there has never been a Navy SEAL left behind or dead. And they're, you know, that is drilled into them, and it's drilled into our military, that you don't leave guys behind. And I, you know, I'll admit, because when I first heard this, I was sort of suspicious. Not suspicious isn't the right word, but I was sort of thinking, really, did we give up five guys to get this guy who seems like he deserted? That was my initial reaction, and I admit that was an incorrect one now, because you need to, you know, you need to hear more of the details of what happened. You also need to hear from people that are military, who will remind you that anybody, you know, it doesn't matter the circumstances, we don't leave anybody behind. That is our code.
So the guy's
also just the fact that we don't know exactly what
right.
he did.
Of course.
And, you know, we still theoretically believe in this thing called justice, although considering the place we released the five guys from, we don't fully believe in justice right. because they were never tried for anything, as far as I know. But, you know, he should come back here and he should face, you know, a court martial or whatever else they deem appropriate for his crimes once they try him.
Right.
If they can prove that he did this.
Right. And you know, the amazing thing for me, though, is just watching, and I'm glad we're in round, I don't know, it appears to be 67, 68 of the mainstream press realizing that John McCain is just a louse. I mean, there's really no other word to put it.
He's just such an asshole.
I mean,
I just want to say, I was ahead of the times in telling everybody what an asshole he was, and I'm going to
best-selling author of The Real McCain on the
that's
phone.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about that till the end of time because back in 2008, he's just a maverick. You know, he breaks
right.
with his party because he does what he thinks is right. And blah, blah, blah. No, this guy does stuff by what mood he's in.
There should be a mood
chart that should say John McCain angry today.
He's probably going to do angry things. Was he part of a prisoner trade?
He was, okay. In fact, part of a prisoner. So he was part of a prisoner trade. Of course, you know, who knows? I don't know the guy specifically in their stories that, you know, were traded for him, but he was part of a prisoner trade. We've always done prisoner trades. We support Israel. It does massive prisoner
right.
trades all the time. And in this particular case, yet again, where the point I tried to make in my book is about McCain's, you know, McCain basically his mood shifts, to, you know, who he was angry at the time would determine what his politics were. You know, I'm more angry at Bush and the Democrats, so I'm going to join with the Democrats on stuff. You know, I'm going to join with them on environmental stuff and taxes and whatever. Wait, nope, now I'm more angry at the Democrats. I hate Obama, so I'm going to move far to the right. I mean, that's basically been his entire
right.
life. So because he's so much prone to that, and there's no consistency to the guy's career whatsoever on anything, that basically he doesn't just flip-flop. He flip-flop, flip-flop, flips. You know, I mean, there's numerous things where he's had, you know, three or four positions to the point where he ends up back where he started.
Right.
Because you just don't know. It's not like no position is ever a permanent one for John McCain, ever. And, you know, I'll always argue, I mean, look, I said this myself, that before I knew the details here, I didn't tweet out or do anything because I wasn't sure. My initial sort of gut reaction was, I don't know if I like that trade from what I'm hearing, you know, what they did here. And then I learned more about it, and I talked to military friends, and I read things, and I came to a conclusion based upon learning more. But that's not how it works for John McCain.
Well, John McCain, listen,
he changes
John
it because
McCain
he feels
knew
differently.
In February. He can talk about all the details that were left out of what he knew about the deal in February. But in February, it was those same exact five Taliban guys. And probably this even predates February. But in February,
a lot of details were left out, Sam. He didn't know what kind of clothes they were going to be wearing. He didn't know, were they taking an airplane or a helicopter? You know, what were they going to eat before they were released? These were all important details.
Right.
When he
said that
they were having the steak and not the chicken.
There are no bigger details in this scenario than who are the five guys that we're going to trade and who's the one guy that we're going to get in return. And he knew all that in February.
That's exactly right.
And it was well known. It was contemporaneously reported in the Washington Post. He knew this. He knew
he was
in
briefings. He was in briefings in the Senate where they talked about it.
Yeah.
Beyond my sarcasm, because exactly as you're saying, what details are there?
Right.
You know, I mean, the details were he knew who the five guys were. He knew who the guy was we were getting back. That's it.
And maybe he thought they were going to fly off in a different plane. But Cliff Schechter,
that's what I'm saying.
That is our time, buddy. And we're going to have to do this again next Friday. And I'm happy that we will.
Damn it, I'll be looking forward to it.
Cliff Schechter, everybody. Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Talk
take care.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the great Andy Kindler. Is there anything that can brighten my day, brighten my week, more than an opportunity to talk to one of my favorite Friday movie recommendator, ostensibly guests, than the wonderful Andy Kindler? Hello, Andy.
Oh, I didn't, I wasn't able, my VCR broke this week. So I wasn't able to look or do my usual movie research.
Oh well, good for you. I thought you had a. I thought you you upgraded from that Betamax that you had.
What is the deal with the? Why do they call Betamax more like Beta Many Men? Beta Men, huh? Anything? Hey, be kind. Rewind. Hey, you know what? Video rental store. You rewind it. I'm paying you $9 for the VHS cassette.
That's the great thing about Andy Kindler, fighting those battles from 15 years ago.
That's right. Hey, Edison spool makers. hey, wax thing that you make a audio imprint into.
What's the deal with this new? What's the deal with this new kerosene lamps?
I get it. I get it. I'm going to light my mattress on fire. I get it.
Now, Andy, before we do anything, because I got some, actually, I got some pretty serious questions to ask you.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But before we get there, I want, now we have a couple of weeks ago on this program, maybe it was a month ago now, I don't know when it was. We had a professor of at a business school from Loyola, who was a who is a renowned libertarian, and an advisor to former Congressman Ron Paul, and he came on the program where we had a little bit of a debate, and we've actually pulled some audio from that. At one point, he asked me to shut up and let him speak. And there has been a lot of questions as to whether or not, in fact, this guy was real or whether it was actually you. And so I want
you to say,
because I want to do a little test here. I want you to say the word hey, but I want you to say it like 7 or 8 times in a row quickly, and then as if you're interrupting somebody, and then follow it with the word shut up. Okay.
Okay.
Three,
ready?
Two, one.
Shut up.
All right. Now, wait a second. Now let's play the Walter Block, and let's see. They got a little music behind it, but we'll see.
Hey, shut up.
I don't know. What? We'll try it one more time.
I don't hear it. Me or him?
No. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? I don't think he...
I didn't hear that.
Oh, he didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you don't have the ability to hear it. All right. You want to... Do you have it?
No.
Is this the way you're trashing me now that I don't have the ability to tell me?
No. Not at all. We just do it okay. One more time.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do my impression again? That's not my impression. It's me actually saying it, right?
Michael, why don't you okay. do the impression for Kimberly?
All right, hold on. He'll do the impression. All right, Michael will do the impression.
Well, I'll do my best. I haven't done a block yet, but it was sort of like a hey, shut up.
Okay.
I'm talking now.
Okay.
Hey, shut up. No. I'm talking now.
No.
I totally don't see the Kindler block.
All right, because I think you guys grew up very close to each other. That's all I'm saying.
It was me.
All right.
I think there's Brooklyn, Queens, lithium, non-lithium. There's some basic differences here.
Okay. So, and I don't want to know.
I had to order his old racist newsletters, Ron Paul, to catch up.
Now, all right. So let's get down to business, Andy. It's been a while since
Breath
we've
pack.
Spoken. What? Brass tacks. Colbert taking over for Letterman. You've been a frequent guest on the David Letterman program. What's the word? What do you say?
Well, first of all, I'm not someone who likes to toot my own horn. Wait a second. Let me reach for another reed. No? I just was on there. I'm not saying it was an amazing set. Those are not my words. But I had a set that was recently named by a stand-up comedy magazine, the greatest, Schtick magazine just called it the greatest stand-up set in the history of television.
Schtick magazine. Schtick magazine. I where does one subscribe to that? Schtick.com, I imagine.
It's my own online self-published magazine.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was good. And people can still check it out. I have more hits or views, or whatever they call it, than Adam Sandler's homemade movie he made on Safari. That's all I heard about. It was topping Adam Sandler in one area.
All right. So wait, now that doesn't answer the question at all.
You're the worst straight man. You're the worst straight man I've ever heard in my life. You don't even encourage me.
I'm sorry. No, what was that Adam Sandler home movie that about Africa? He didn't really. It wasn't really.
Okay,
a home
so
movie.
He said. He says, Dave, I made a home movie when I was on Africa doing the genius movie Blended, which is the sequel's called On the Rocks. And then next one's going to be Neat. I'll have it straight up Neat. He did a picture of him playing a fake saxophone in front of elephants, and he showed that. Anyway, Colbert is the greatest thing. That's the greatest movie that's ever happened. I, as you know, I'm a big fan. I'm not usually a big fan of network television executives, but in this case, kudos to Les Moonves and all the people of the CBS team. Brilliant move getting Colbert. Brilliant.
Now, this isn't have anything to do with your wanting to get on to Late Night with Stephen Colbert.
I do want to get on that show. I love him. He's a hero of mine. I did the Chevy. No, I'm being serious. I did the Chevy Chase roast, which I got cut out of. And I met him there, and I've always been a big fan. And now I've already started sending gift baskets.
Now, I've also noticed, all right, well, so there it is. No controversy there, I guess.
I'm not making news today on your show, Sam.
What? So what about Fallon? What do you think about Fallon?
Oh, the greatest. Hey, I didn't see it. Did Fallon, was he excited to meet Neil deGrasse Tyson last night? Did he say things like, wow, that Cosmos is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, the Cosmos. I love it. I love Cosmos. I love it. And now I'm going to put my fist to my mouth like Johnny Carson did. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm covering my mouth. I take it like I make a tent with my index finger, kind of a tent. and I go against my mouth, and I'm still laughing so hard. I'm still laughing from my fake interaction with Ricky Gervais for the night before.
What's up,
Ricky Gervais? Sorry.
Do you have someone who pulls all these clips for you? I mean, you're constantly criticizing everyone on TV.
I have a guy who has a 3/4-inch tape machine, and we get a local feed. I get it early. I get Jimmy Fallon. I pay $30 a day to get Jimmy Fallon early so I can tweet.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen you so tongue-tied. You got so much to say, so much invective that you're tongue-tied.
Well, look, all I'm saying is I'm just concerned about Craigie Ferg.
Craigie Ferg?
Oh, come on, Sam.
Wait, where'd you go?
Craig Ferg.
What? Where'd you
come
go?
Come on, Sam.
What's happening with Craig Ferguson? He's leaving, right?
I say to him,
who's going to take over that CBS slot after Colbert?
Well, he's certainly not going to take it. There's no show to take over. You know what I'm talking about? The guy opened up every night with an audience member standing on his stage every night with a puppet of some type or a half hour monologue ad lib with himself every night. Oh, it's Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Maybe it's Monday. Oh, 25 minutes later, no guest. No guest. Let me drink out of this funny cup. Ooh.
I got to admit, I think I watched that show once or twice when it launched, and then the last time I heard of it was when he said he was leaving, and I read some piece that said he was really innovative because he had a puppet and like a puppet sidekick, and I just thought, like, I never found it amusing or interesting.
It's a robot skeleton sidekick, Sam. Get it right if you're going to put people down.
A robot
skeleton. Not a puppet.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Skeleton robot.
So wait, so who's going to take over? Would you take that job if they offered it to you?
Yes, I want it. No, you know why? I'll tell you why, Sam. I'll never take that job. I'm not going to interview one lousy actor or actress or comedian that I can't stand. That's not what I'm about. So Larry the Cable Guy, so when you first got the call, when Pixar called you for Cars 7, how'd you feel? Were you excited about it?
Now, I don't know if anybody has picked up on what just happened, folks. But Andy Kindler, I think, just took a swipe at Marc Maron.
Really? I said Larry the Cable Guy.
No. When you were saying that, I was thinking, this is how my mind works, okay? When you were saying that, I was thinking, that's exactly my problem. That's why, like, my everything I do is so narrow that basically I just interview economists and try and understand what they've written, and I have Andy Kindler on. Those are the only two things I can do. And I think, and then immediately I go, I've always said to myself, I got to broaden my show. But then I think, like, oh, then I'd have to interview people who I really don't actually have any appreciation for what they're doing. And, but that's sadly the way that you get a big show. And then immediately I think that's what Maron did. And then I realize Kindler is slamming Maron.
is that what they call inductive reasoning?
I don't know. I mean, look,
all dogs eat meat. Bob eats meat. Bob is a dog. Is that what you're doing to me?
Well, I mean, come on. You know that. You know that. I mean, Maron hasn't had Maron. You know, ostensibly appreciates almost everybody brings on that podcast.
Come on, Gallagher walked out and he said the greatest line in the history of broadcasting. He said, "Gallagher, come on, Gallagher, come on, Gallagher."
Yeah, but that's like. You know, that's like the Fonzie rule, right? That Fonzie told Richie Cunningham, all you got to do is hit one person and then you get that reputation. Who else?
Right. That's true. Well, but the thing is, I don't know. I couldn't do it with any of the podcasts. I don't want to interview Robin Williams like Marc Maron does.
Mm-hmm.
But he, first of all, I love Marc Maron. And don't you know that I'm on that second season of that show. And you're doing anything you can to derail
anything positive from me. I know what your game is, Sam Cedar. We go up for the same parts. We're interchangeable for any handsome Jew roles with Ari Melber. It's me. If I go to one more audition where it's me, you, and Ari Melber in the waiting room, that's going to be it.
Well, I got to say that, Maron called me back in September. He's like, I got Dave Anthony over here. You're definitely on the show this year. And then all of a sudden he wouldn't answer any of my texts for like 2 months.
I'm retracting that. And Maron.
And he came on to the program and he's like, yeah, I apologize. But it took 2 or 3 months before he responded to a phone call or anything.
Well, that's
and then
so
all of a sudden you're all over the place.
Who's all over the place?
You. You're all over Maron's show.
It's unbelievable. I cannot believe things have gone so well for me career-wise. The money has always been poor. I have offers pouring in right now, Sam, because I just opened up a vowel pack.
I don't think anybody in my office knows what a vowel pack is, but I do.
Is that a vowel pack? Is where? How else are you going to clean your carpets? Or well, get local pizza.
I trust it's funny, Andy.
No, but what is that thing that's online, like Groupon? Now it's all Groupon, buddy.
Oh, that's all I do now is every day I get up and I figure out what's going to be a big reference 4 months from now. Hey, where'd you get that hat, pal, with a Bitcoin?
Well, you got to change that Val pack to Groupon. Like, I'm getting offers every day. I just got 3 emails from Groupon.
Hey, I just asked my wife last night, when are we going to have a Groupon? Anybody? Have you muted your studio so I can't hear anybody there?
No. Michael laughed. He laughed. He chuckled.
Michael's the only progressive on my side. The only progressive who sticks up for me and my love for Obama is Michael.
Whoa.
Oh. Andy, I wrote a few Obama, sympathetic pieces to Obama. There are people in this audience that are claiming that I'm actually getting secret payoffs from the administration.
Unbelievable. The greatest president in the history of the greatest human being in the history of human beings. And he has to, pearls before swine
I got to listen to Chris Matthews talk shit about me. The guy sounds like a friggin' foghorn. It's got serious. He's got the intellectual coherence of Al D'Amato's ethics and hanging out with mafia guys. I mean, come on. Let's be serious here. Andy, you want to come hang out with me at Martha's Vineyard this summer? Can you get away from Maron for a second? I mean, but seriously, that guy's a little... He needs some support, right? And you know what I mean by support. Like psychiatry.
I'm laughing like a hyena.
Yeah.
I'm laughing like a hyena now.
No, you're loving it. Now, you've been on the Matthews bandwagon, right? I mean, I was wondering where you'd land after Dylan Radigan left TV.
Something's wrong with him that says he needs to be calmed down. Every 3 days he goes, when someone answers, I'm going to just get so angry and say, that's not the question I asked you. That's not what I'm asking you. Yes or no? Yes or no?
So,
yes or no? What is the universe going to ask? Yes or no?
So what is it? So who do you like watching? When you watch MSNBC, who do you like watching? Let's break this down. Who do you not like and who do you like?
Let's unpack this. Let's unpack this, as they say.
Yeah.
Hey, MSNBC pundits, the only time you're going to unpack something is when you've moved. Talking about a subject is not unpacking it. I hate to push back. I hate to drill down further on it.
What do you want to talk? Let's go into the weeds? Let's get into the weeds on this?
I say breakdown, Andy. Is that okay?
Is that a show now?
Breakdown.
With Michael Brooks.
Get your cell phones out. I like what Ed says. Get your cell phones out. As if they're stored away.
But Republicans are bad. Press
got
one.
My cell phone about.
You gotta like those cell phone quizzes. Dial 833-444 if Republicans deserve to be shot. Dial 833-445 if they don't.
Do you think the Republicans have turned the corner on their tired philosophy? One for yes, two for no. One for no, two for really, really no.
So wait,
you know what it's about, Sam? It's all Ronan Farrow for me. I tape Ronan Farrow. I watch him back. It's all Ronan Farrow.
Now you really love Ronan Farrow, don't you?
No, it's unwatchable. He is unwatchable. He does impressions of Obama, where he does a thing like Obama said, "Oh no, he didn't." That's what he does. He says he does black people from the '60s. Here's the other thing, Ronan Farrow. You are not funny. You will never be funny. You're not funny in conversation. You're not funny as compared to a rock. Stop trying to be funny. And stop calling it the Ronan Farrow Show. Nobody cares what your name is. Just do a thing.
What should he be calling it? The Drill Down.
He should be calling it the Wind Up. Or the Cycle. Or Pre-Cycle. Or the Information Room.
Information room.
Be unpacked. Let's unpack it. He should.
Right anyway, on, brother.
All right. Anyway, who can watch Andrea Mitchell and Ronan Farrow back to back? That should be a contest.
Can I tell you, Andy?
Yeah.
And I just got reminded of this by an IM, and I can't believe I didn't mention this to you before.
Yeah. But
let me tell you what it does in my daughter's eyes. When I can point to Selena Gomez on Wizards of Waverly Place,
yes.
I say, "See that guy? I know him." And she goes apoplectic. You,
how old is your daughter?
She's 8 and a half.
For $15, I can send her, because it doesn't go to me. For $15, I can send you a photo with me in the wizard outfit and another $10 for postage and handling for signature. It's nothing to do with me. I don't control the money.
I will. I may take you up on that. I may take
I'm
you
up on
that.
I'm telling you. Kids love me.
They do. Now, what did you play on that? Like an evil wizard or something?
Oh, what did I play? Why, you know what I play. Chancellor Rudy Tootie Tootie. Like you don't know.
I did know. I just
unbelievable.
Wanted to
say, what a backhanded compliment. You know everything about that show.
I once I was walking down the street and ran into Carolyn Ray with my daughter. This was a couple of years ago. And she we were talking and she said, "Watch this." And she says to my daughter, "Do you watch Phineas and Ferb?" My daughter says yes, and then she went into the voice of the mother of Phineas Ferb, which I didn't even realize. And my daughter just sat there slack jaw and literally talked about it for 6 months. 6 months.
I like the way you say, you were not aware that it was Phineas Ferb. Like, how could you be aware?
Well, no, I watched Phineas and Ferb. That's actually not a bad show. I just didn't realize it was Caroline. Oh, you got a problem?
You know, my new demographic, Sam, is 7 to 14, that's my new demographic, and people 60 to 80. Those are my two groups.
That's good, because you've got a long time before those 7 to 14-year-olds get to be 60, so you have longevity.
I like people who enjoy vaudeville references. Those are my people. Who I can do a Topol, the smoker's tooth polish joke to. And then conversely, hey kids, what are you doing? I don't know why. I thought I was a kids show host for a second. Hey, it's Andy, kids.
Yeah, that's going to get you in trouble, buddy.
Yeah. Ooh, all of a sudden you make it turn the other way.
So, Andy, do you really not, you don't have a movie for us, right? What are you watching? What's the best show on TV? What's your favorite show on TV you're watching these days?
I still enjoy Portlandia. Come on, you got me. I'm supposed to prepare in some way.
All right.
What have I been watching?
Well, then what have you been doing? What are you going to do next that we can
Louis.
Join in? Yeah, Louie.
Oh, I can
great.
Tell you what you can do. Here's, if you want, do you like your comedy to go nowhere? Do you like one scene that seems to be on one episode and then another scene that seems to be from a different country? Louie. The new season of Louie, folks. Do you like to be perplexed?
I've only watched the first. I got to say, I've only watched the first four episodes, but I thought they were actually more traditional in some respects than some of the earlier ones in terms of like following one storyline the whole show.
Nobody goes to a delicatessen and samples food and makes faces like it's delicious, like Louis C.K. when he goes into. He's going to Russ and Daughters. Here's the way. Here's four scripts. I go into Russ and Daughters. I walk up. I take a herring off of a counter. Get the sets. I'm ready to shoot.
I think that show is just fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, I don't watch any more comedy. It's mostly just dramas for me. Maybe two or three, if that. Mad Men and Game of Thrones these days, but Louis, I think, is just sort of transcends television. That's my feeling.
Oh God! All right, I apologize.
Why? No, I don't mind you knocking
episode?
It. What?
Unbelievable! You're always angling. You must be doing an episode.
Nope.
Where he goes to the Majority Report.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then he.
I will say this. Full disclosure. I saw the first four episodes in dailies at his place a couple of months ago. Maybe it was 6 months ago or something. But I rarely see Louis. But I just that show, I love it.
You sicken me. That whole anecdote sickened me. You over there, and you're having some kind of Cristal champagne.
I'll tell you something. He's got a nice. I would call it a house, but it's really a building. Interdispersed between me enjoying the dailies was me looking around going like, oh my God. Oh my
right.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well appointed. What does he have? 4,000 feet ceilings. Does he have? An infinite bed.
Yeah, it's right. It's true. You actually cannot see the bed if you're just in one room.
Does he have a sleep number bed? Oh my God, that's the only thing. When I get rich, I'm going to have a sleep number bed. That's all I care about.
Yeah, he has a sleep number bed. It's on a million.
Okay, I have a movie.
Yeah.
Documentary. Greatest documentary ever made. If you want a documentary where you see everything coming up Main Street and you don't have to think, you can't do better than Religious. Go see Religious. If you think Bill Maher is likable and you want to see him point out to a fundamentalist that the Bible is not indeed three, he tears the cover off of all those people thinking the world was really 500 years old in Religious.
So you're saying he really hands it to those people who think, so it's
yeah.
Deep.
Yeah, finally. Sorry, Amish. Sorry, Mormons. Think again, Mormons. Maybe Joseph Smith didn't go out. Oh, so you think Joseph Smith? Sir, what do you think? You think Joseph Smith went out into the woods and he came back with the magic underwear? You think that? All right, let me go to somebody else who thinks something silly.
Oh, that is exactly what the movie is. Andy Kindler, always, always a pleasure. You have made my day. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love you, Sam.
I love you.
Thank
too,
you
Andy.
So much.
Bye bye.
Okay, man. Be good. Bye bye.
You know, that's it. There's Kindler. Do we have a song from Jimmy Reefergig? No. Oh, we don't. All right. Well, let's just take a. You know what? We won't even take a break because I'm still working out. Like, how do I get to the 3 to 6 studio? So we're not going to be able to go too late today. And to make it up, ultimately, what we're going to do for members is give them. Maybe like a best of the 3 to 6 show. Maybe we'll do like, you know, 3 hours or, you know, give him an extra 90 minutes or so a week.
Oh, wait. Jimmy Reefergig did send a song. He sent it the other day.
Oh, all right. Let's see it.
Give me a second. I'm pulling it up right now.
I'll go to an IM. In the meantime, Dr. Radmanthes, disprove this statement. Bergdahl is CIA. I guess I can't disprove that statement, but I can't disprove 100 other statements. I mean... I definitely don't think that we know the full story. I mean, there was a report that he had walked off a couple of times once when he was in training in California and one other time in Afghanistan. So it, for all we know, it could be one of those situations where the guy was just going, walking around, you know, doing a, you know, a walkabout and got captured. We don't know. We just don't know. All right, here we have the song, Jimmy Reefer Cake. Oh, let me just say this, too. Folks, we need your support, the members that make this show possible. And you can support this program. If you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com. It takes you just a couple of seconds to set it up. You'll notice no difference. We get a kickback. It's not huge, but every little bit helps. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. Use that coupon code. That way they know that you're buying, because we sent you there. Give us a review on iTunes. That's very, very helpful to us. Pick up our app, majorityapp.com. Eventually we're going to be able to stream, I think, the 3 to 6 show through there, live anyways. All right, let's hear, Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever, you know they'll find a way to blame weed. Marijuana is the nation's number one cash crop, but scapegoating the weed still will never stop. You've got the outright haters, but that's not all. What's more, the liberal Trojan horse is behind the other door. But they don't care what we need. They don't care what we need. For every single problem, they'll blame weed. So blame weed for your alcohol problem. So blame weed. It made you smoke cigarettes, didn't it? So blame weed for all that sniffing of cocaine. So blame weed for the needle that you're sticking in your vein. Blame weed for Cheetos and big fat sodas. Blame weed for crime and pollution. If your workforce fails to meet the quotas, testing everybody's piss as if that's the real solution. But they don't care what we need. They don't care what we need. For every single problem, they'll blame weed.
There you go. There you go.
Blaming weed. Everything.
Well, I don't think he's talking about it. I don't think he's talking about it.
No, I know.
No, not at all. Jimmy Reefer Cake. Going back to the macro. Going back to the macro. All right, folks. Good job, Jimmy. I love it. Dr. Radmanthes. Oh, I already could not disprove that. Carl Sagan. Even Jank pronounced Matt's name wrong on TYT last night. Damn, that hurts. Genius says Mike Malloy pronounced Matt's name correct last night. Bueno. Michael is obviously no fascista fashionista. Brown shirts were Germany. Italy was black shirts. You know, every well-appointed knuckle-dragger has his black tee in the closet. Hi, Johnny. Congrats to the spotlight on the spotlight, Matt. I'm looking forward to the day you usurp Sam and turn the Majority Report into a pro wrestling podcast. XRX, Sam promoting O&A now? Didn't know you knew who they were. Craig Ferzen is the funniest talk show host I've come across. He doesn't do typical interviews that require pre-agreements on questions to be asked of guests. He's not for everyone. The guy criticizing him hasn't made me laugh the whole time you had him on the phone. Woo! Shots fired, Andy Kindler. Mal de Toyink. Herbs. What was that?
Herbs. It's Alex Jones, man.
Oh, right, right. Big Mitch finally got caught up. Thanks for all the segments on Stefan Melieu. I've never understood how hateful he actually is. I only ever watched him for the lulz. That segment he did on blaming women for all the injustice was world was sickening. You know, I didn't hear it at the time that you guys did that. I didn't. The other night I stumbled across. I don't remember what I was doing anymore. I don't even remember what I did yesterday these days. But it was incredibly disturbing.
Yes. Yeah.
Folks, check out the YouTube, our YouTube page for that. It is genuinely disturbing if you missed it. Canine Cats, how crazy is the baggers? The Texas Stand GOP draft platform has a plank supporting anti-gay therapy. Can that happen? Hell yes. This is the state that elected Ted Cruz senator. That's why the Republicans are trying to get rid of state party planks. Fred and Con College, cheers from Seoul. Hey, Fred, we got an email from another listener in Seoul, and they want your email. So send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com because we want to hook you guys up. The movie recommendation, The President's Last Bang with English Subtitles, a Korean black comedy about the true story of how former Korean President Park Chung-hee was assassinated. Don't watch with Myla or Saul. Walter Block sat on my ball. I wonder how I've often wondered if John McCain has ever been tested for PTSD. If not, why not? His experience in Vietnam certainly would qualify him for diagnostic testing. A lot of his behavior shows classic symptoms. Film Fest guy, what is the best website to listen to the 3 to 6 p.m.? It seems to be, if you go to Ring of Fire, they have a listen live button there now. And I think that takes you to the Progressive Voices page. I'm not sure. But go through ringoffireradio.com. And we should probably put up a page, too.
We always put it up on the blog.
Yeah, we should put up a another one. Fox guest, white liberals like Neil deGrasse Tyson so much, he could defecate on them. Why does a scientist... You know who that is? I think that's a guy, Gavin, from Vice. I know him.
Yeah.
We should have Gavin on.
We should.
I mean, I'm not. I mean, I have his email, and I, you know, I've seen him socially over the years. He was friends with Cross, and I think he does. You know, he does a bit of a show, but I think he puts it on a little bit. But you know, I these casual sort of like libero apathetic guys. Libertarian apathetic.
He's got like a gimmick, like he's like the punk rock conservative or something like that.
Militant apathy. I've got a 7.5-year-old son. The regular show is good, too. Not sure if girls watch it, though. The regular show. I don't know what that is. Crusher. The NRA flip-flop has shades of your interview with Austin Ruse. The Pope can say that, but that's not the church edict, etc. 1 second of Andy is better than eternity of Ferg face. A-square. Missing the show live, but can't wait to hear Obama bot numero uno, Andy. Numero uno, Andy. For Sam, first week back on terrestrial radio. Down, hang in there. It's not over yet. I got one to 20% left, actually. Fox News is 100% correct about Bergdahl. The bigger your beard, the more of a Muslim you are. That's why I remain clean shaven during Ramadan, so I don't have to starve during the day. For Michael, I don't understand how you can cite Jamie as a sympathetic character without also stating it's possible the single instance of bad writing on the show and book. There is no development from the horrible act he committed without any remorse in the first episode to where he is now.
He's a complicated character. I mean, there's not much more to say about it. He's obviously a complicated character.
Horse Zachary.
I don't think so.
I bet Marin would respond to John Benjamin's text. Yeah, no kidding. The DX Fool. Hey, Sam, you should have reminded Kindler that he wouldn't have gotten famous without the help of not Letterman, not Ray Romano, but Selena Gomez and the Wizards of Waverly Place. Yes, I did. Okay, thank you for that. Triangle Bill. I agree with Kindler. The film Religious is a must-see. It even has an amazing scene shot at a truck stop in my very own North Carolina. Jay Tingle, Michelangelo Signorelli pronounced Matt's name correctly. I've often wondered why John McCain hasn't been tested for PCP. No, he's not putting it on. We liberals would love to have Neil deGrasse Tyson defecate on us, obviously. Hope Feld, May jobs report. 217,000 net added jobs. We've re-reached the high water mark for the BLS jobs before the 2008 meltdown. April jobs was revised up almost 300,000. The new estimate, if 287K. The negative GDP for first quarter was cold weather and snow, yet January, February, March jobs didn't dip as much. So even though hours may be cut in bad weather, they didn't lose their jobs. The trend for jobs in 2012, between 150 and 200K a month. Now it looks like 2014 has 200K to quarter million jobs a month. Looks like the long-stalled recovery is slow and steady. It survived the crazy winter, and jobs growth is ever increasing. Maybe in the summer we'll get more like 300K or 330. Let's hope. Indeed, let's hope. It's private sector job growth has now been gone 53, I think, consecutive months, which is a bit of a record. But it also shows just how deep the recession was. I don't think we're out of the woods by nearly a long shot, but it's better than heading deeper into the woods. Towie Wee, thanks, Sam. Since I've watched so many of your libertarian takedowns, YouTube is now recommending Stefan Molyneux channel to be something I might like. Dolink, when will there be the Sam Cedar Ring of Fire Facebook page? Good station, KBBR. I don't know if there's going to be a separate Facebook page for the weekly show. I don't know about that. Scott Ricketts, Sam, why don't you ask Andy how he was able to do such amazing mething acting when his character Mort on Bob's Burger did horrible stand-up comedy? Should we do this story about Ohio or Chick-fil or
I say we do Scotty B or nothing.
Yeah, I think we got to save Scotty B.
We
got to
save Scotty B?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to do that at the end of the show. All right. Fredicon College just emailed in. Can't wait. Militant Apathy. Oh, the Cartoon Network. It's on regular show on the Cartoon Network. I will check that out. And the final IM of the week, folks. Just in case we missed it, EFF was back in court yesterday to stop the NSA, who is reported to be destroying evidence of surveillance Obama claimed they never collected. Good show on BBC AM is Wild Things host Dominic Monaghan. I don't know if it was written right. All right, folks. Great week. We will... on Monday, Matt and Mike Monday. I will be back Tuesday live on this program. Of course, you go to ringoffireradio.com if you can't get your full fix and you need another 3 hours interrupted by commercials. I just want to be, up front. I want to be up front about it.
You was great the other day when you and David Dane were talking about those bad Quicken loans.
Yeah.
And then you literally... the one I was listening to literally cut to a Quicken Loans commercial.
Yeah, somebody tweeted that. All right, folks. I'll see you Tuesday. These guys will be here Monday. Have a great weekend.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught. Between the truth and the light bulb, but finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice was made. For the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick. And my pilot light shining bright. The months shifted into years while I shifted in and out of gear, waiting for I don't know how much longer I can stay in, or how much more I've got to pay to play in. I know somehow the lines got graded somewhere before the credits faded. But my pilot light shining, pilot.
night.